I can invite you to bow your heads and join me in prayer. Lord, on this day of Epiphany, we ask that you would appear to us. Reveal yourself to us in new ways this morning and awaken within us your desires for our heart. May we seek to be faithful in you and to you in all things. Open our hearts to receive your word, that we might hear from you and live for you. Bless this time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 3. I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote above in a few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant, according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ, and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. So that through the church, the wisdom of God in its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, a final Merry Christmas to all of you. Some of you may be aware or may not be aware that this today is what we might call the 12th day of Christmas. It is the day of Epiphany, and it just so happens this year that the day of Epiphany is also a Sunday. January 6th is traditionally when we celebrate that day, the 12th day after Christmas. Now, we spend a lot of time in the Christmas season talking about Emmanuel. God has come to be with us. And we're familiar with verses like, "For unto us a child is born." And we talk a lot about the blessing of Christ's birth and what that means for us and the implications that it has for us. And not just Christ's birth, but Christ's life and death, resurrection, ascension, and ongoing reign even today as he's seated on the throne of God. And in the Christmas season, while our spirit is hopefully one of giving, we spend a lot of time thinking about what this means for me. What it means to me that Christ has come into the world. What it means for us. What it might mean for our church. For the current people of God that Christ has come and will come again. And yet the incarnation, God becoming both man and God, in Jesus Christ, brings a vision to us of God's glory that's meant to be spread to all nations of the world. Just as we sang the words in the last verse of that song, "Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory." For this is the mission of God, that the earth would be filled with God's glory. A mission to be carried out by the church. And really, Epiphany is a day where we celebrate that. The word Epiphany means manifestation or appearance. And throughout church history has come to be the day that we celebrate God's revelation coming to the Magi, to the three wise men, to the three kings, all the ways that we're familiar with that passage. And the gospel through that was now appeared to them, was revealed to them, to these foreigners who journeyed and traveled seeking the truth. They came to Jesus Christ, and they received a revelation that would allow them to go and to carry this good news to other areas of the world. They had what I might call an aha moment. Now, an aha moment's a phrase that's used a lot in counseling. It's come from a particular psychologist at one point in time. But this aha moment where it's kind of like the light comes on. And we say that a lot, I think. We're familiar with that term. And there's been a lot of those aha moments in my life. A lot of those aha moments in my faith journey. Moments that even now I look back upon and I think about how God revealed God's self to me in a particular way. Revealed something new to me. Awakened within me something new that God was doing in my life or perhaps in the world. Now, it was pretty early in my faith journey that I started asking questions like, if this is all about heaven, why am I still here? Now, I don't know if that question resonates with you, but a lot of times when we share the gospel message, we share what I would call not quite a full message. We share a part of the message that speaks to our need for salvation and that without Jesus Christ, our eternal security may not be secure, and that we need Jesus so that we can know that when we die, we'll go and be in heaven with the Lord for all eternity. And that's an important part of the gospel message, but that's not what I would consider to be the fullness of the gospel message. And yet that's how the gospel was revealed to me as a young child going to church. Many times I would hear stories about heaven and hell and be asked a question, where do you want to spend eternity? Well, what child wouldn't be like, duh. I'll raise my hand, sign me up, make sure my name's in that book. But that's why that question resonated so much with me as a child. If it's really just about making sure I get there, then why doesn't God just take me there now when I make that decision? Why am I still here? What's the point? And one of these aha moments for me has been this understanding of our faith journey in the mission of God. Our faith journey in what God is doing in the world and how we're called to participate with God in that work. To help set this up, I want to make a little distinction between mission and missions with an S. You see, missions, I think, is the way the church for most of our history has thought about evangelizing the world, has thought about God's message, the good news, going out to all the world. And in missions, often our understanding is that we as a church will support a person or maybe a couple people. And they will be the ones to go out and do missions. They will go. They will do God's work. They will be sent. They will share the message. And it's going to happen over there, wherever God calls them and wherever they go. And so they're out there doing the missions, and our role as the church is support them. And that's how we've often viewed missions. Well, I would like for us to consider a different way of looking at it, what I call mission with no S. It's kind of a bigger picture and a bigger understanding of who we are and what we're called into in our faith. Mission speaks to who we are by nature of followers of Jesus Christ. Mission is something that all of us are called into through our faith journey and in our baptism. We're called into the church, who is a body of people that is called and sent together into the world to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to love and serve God everywhere, to share that message with everyone, and to do that in everything that we do. And the Holy Spirit has come alongside us and gifted us in many different ways as the church, as the body of Christ, to live our faith out in mission in that way. And so we as the church, did you catch that? We as the church. This church is not the building. This building is where the church gathers. We are the church. We've known that since we were kids, right? You know, we did that little thing with our hands. Open the church and see the people. Well, I don't even remember it. All right, we are the church as the people of God, called into faith and sent by God into the world to participate in God's mission of spreading the glory of God to all the ends of the earth. Loving and serving God and others, giving testimony to God and God's faithfulness, making disciples and spreading God's glory. And we do this in all things and in all ways. And so as parents, we are part of God's mission. As teachers, we are part of God's mission. As business owners, we are part of God's mission, and so on and so forth. This isn't just something that the missionaries participate in. This is something that all of us are called into. Now, I want to talk a little bit in this theme of Epiphany about Paul's Epiphany, the writer of this letter to the church in Ephesus. And he makes mention of this, how he had come to have this mystery revealed to him. And you can read about that transformation in Acts chapter 9, a passage in Scripture that I think all of us should read at least once a year, if not more. And this is the chapter that records this incredible transformation from Saul to Paul, as we might put it. Saul, who is the greatest persecutor of the Christian faith at that time, and because of this transformation, becomes the greatest proclaimer of the Christian faith, perhaps of all time. And it's a revelation, an epiphany that's given to Saul to help him realize the reality of Jesus Christ. And to summarize that, truly, that Jesus Christ, the one that he's persecuted and the one who's followers he's currently persecuting, truly is God, Lord and Savior of the world. And so Paul receives this revelation. Christ appears to him in a vision, and then if you know the story well, he becomes blind, and they lead him to a city. And in that city is a man named Ananias, a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord speaks to Ananias and says, go, speak to Saul. He's been given this idea in the vision that you will come to him and help bring him sight. And this is Ananias' first response. I've heard of that guy. He's in the middle of persecuting Christians. Are you sure you want me to go talk to him? And this is what the Lord says to Ananias. He says, go, for he is an instrument whom I have chosen to bring my name before Gentiles and kings and before the people of Israel. And so the Lord reveals, gives an epiphany then to Ananias, brings a revelation to him that Paul is one who has now been chosen to carry this message, this good news of Jesus Christ to the world, to the Gentiles. At that time, we would have understood the Gentiles to be all of those outside the nation of Israel. Today, what we might think is that to anyone who has not yet heard the good news of Jesus Christ, all people, all nations, all ethnicities, the call is to carry the word to them. Now, notice that at this point in time in Paul's faith journey, he doesn't understand that this is what he's being called to. He receives an epiphany that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And at that point in time, he seeks to be faithful. But he doesn't know yet what that's going to mean. You see, there's ongoing epiphanies, ongoing revelations that will come to Paul over time. And part of those ongoing revelations are that he's called to be the one to begin the process of taking the word of the Lord to the Gentiles. That's a process that truly had already become really in Peter, and you can read about that in Acts as well. It's all a part of this ongoing movement of God taking the message to the world. And Paul talks about this to the church in Ephesus in the letter that we read. For this reason, that there is now a faith that combines all people. There's a unity in faith. That's what Philippians 2 is speaking of. And Paul says, for this reason, I'm a prisoner for Jesus Christ. And you've heard, I'm sure, of the commission that he'd been given. This mystery that's now been revealed, that's been written about. That was a mystery for former generations, but now has been revealed to Paul, and now Paul is revealing to the world. This mystery, this revelation, this epiphany, that God's grace abounds, that God's mercy is for all, that from the beginning of creation, God's salvation plan was to redeem and is to redeem and restore all things, all people, all nations, all tribes, all tongues. This is the mission of God. This was the commission to Paul, to be a part of an ongoing epiphany, an ongoing awakening, an ongoing revelation of God to the world. That there's good news in Jesus Christ, that the kingdom of God is coming to earth as it is in heaven. And just like Christmas, this day that we celebrate, this day of Epiphany, isn't meant to be a day that we think about how cool it would have been for the three wise men to ride their camels and go see Jesus and give him these gifts. It's a day that's supposed to remind us of the ongoing epiphanies, the ongoing revelations, the ongoing awakening that God is bringing to the world, still today, to all people of all tribes and all tongues. And a part of our purpose in this world, the reason why we're here, and to be faithful in our call to be followers of Jesus Christ, is to participate with God in this. Because you see, this is still happening. This wasn't something that was started 2,000 years ago, lasted for a few days or a few months or a few years and ended. This is a movement that continues today. And to help illustrate that, I want you to watch just this short video. I'll ask Bill to pull that up for us. There's videos like this out on the internet. Maybe you've seen one like it. But I just encourage you, some of the things are hard to see from where you are, but there's a little ongoing date up in the top left corner. But I think you'll get the picture. Up to 2015. And I don't know what that video does for you as you think about that, as you watch that. But the idea that I see in that is that this is a movement that began with Jesus Christ and is not finished. And I don't know if you noticed kind of the ebbs and flows of the movement as different wars, as different rises of power have come and gone. And I think that we would need to be honest and say that the way that Christianity has spread throughout the world in the past hasn't always been in the way Jesus would have wanted it to spread, that we as Christians are a broken people, and that we've spread Christianity in ways that weren't holy, and we've needed to repent of that. And there have been things in our history that are really broken. And I just remember in college and seminary reading about some of these things, and in some ways I was embarrassed and I was ashamed, and it caused me to wonder, do I really want to be affiliated with a faith movement? But the thing that really strikes me is, in the midst of all of those things, the movement continues. That you see a God behind it, a God on a mission, a God to rescue and reconcile and restore a world. Now, in the past, when we've talked about being a part of that, we've often talked about missions with an S. Who might God rise up to send there? And God is still in the business of doing that, and that's an important thing for us to consider. But what I would like us to consider this morning is, how do we, all of us, be called into mission? To not miss our opportunity to make a mark in that. Because as the sermon title states, we are part of the plan. You and me, First Presbyterian Church in Ashland, we are part of that plan. How can I be so bold to say that? Because every Christian who has been called and baptized into the faith is a part of that plan by the very nature of who we are. God calls and God commissions. It's a rhythm that we live out every Sunday morning. God calls us here as God's people. We're gathered, we're fed, we're strengthened, we're encouraged, we're nourished, and we're sent to live out our faith and participate in this. Now, for some of us, the question might be, how do we begin to get there with our lives? To see each day as an invitation to participate in that. That here, among us, and all around us are opportunities to be a part of God's mission. And what I would suggest to us this morning is that perhaps we can open ourselves up to an ongoing epiphany. That perhaps God wants to bring an epiphany to you and to me, and perhaps to us. A revelation of how God might be at work. A revelation of how God might want us to participate in that work. An awakening to what God desires to do within us and among us and through us to the world. Now, I can only speak to my own life in this, but when I've experienced those type of epiphanies, it's typically because I'm seeking those type of epiphanies. And more recently, seeking typically means resting, means being quiet. It means listening, reading, reflecting, doing the things that, to be honest with you, are a challenge in my life at this stage. And yet, even yesterday morning, I sat in here reflecting on Isaiah 30:15 and heard the Lord say to me, "In rest and in quiet will come confidence and strength." For it's when we allow ourselves to sit back and to listen and to rest in the Lord, to not feel like we're the ones that have to do it all, but to understand that God's already doing it and we're invited into it, when we can trust that and when we can breathe and we can position ourselves to be present with the Lord, we can begin to receive more frequently these new epiphanies, these awakenings, awakening to God, awakening to God's love for us, awakening to the kingdom of God around us, awakening to the work of the Holy Spirit within us and among us and through us, awakening to all of the things that are true about you as a child of God, secure in Jesus Christ. An awakening that can bring fresh eyes to see the world, a new heart to embrace others, a creativity in how we're called to be the church. You know, in all these conversations that we've been having, these family gatherings, and a lot of you have been able to be a part of those, and some of you maybe not. We're going to give a few more opportunities to sit together, but we've talked a lot about how we need to have a creative approach to be the church as we move forward in our cultural context. Well, that creativity comes from being inspired by God as we sit and pray and listen and read. How we steward our resources. All of these things, the way that we are being called to have an impact for the kingdom of God in the world, all of these things come from ongoing epiphanies, ongoing awakenings from the Lord. And this is both personal, the way each of us receive our own individual epiphanies, the way each of us are being called to participate in this mission, to make disciples, to be a part of this ongoing plan. It's also personal in how we're called to do that here in Ashland, in our own homes, in our own neighborhoods, in our own workplaces, wherever we go and in whatever we do, this invitation is there for us. But there's also a way that we can be seeking for epiphanies as a collective group of God's people who call ourselves First Presbyterian Church. And I'm not going to pretend to stand up here and pretend to know all of the ways that God may be calling us to awaken. But when I sit back and I reflect on some of the things that God's doing in our midst, there are two areas that really are standing out to me in how we are being called into this. And the first of those is in our partnership and work with Healing Care and HCMI, Healing Care Mandate International, the group of folks that have offices down here on our first floor. We'll be having a seminar here in 2 weeks to train others in caring for people through the modality of formational prayer. This is a ministry that is popping up all over the world because God is using it to bring restoration. Now, how does experiencing healing fit into all of this? Because with the gospel message, we also, many of us, I would say all of us, need Christ to come through the ministry of the Holy Spirit and undo the things that sin has done within us. To not just forgive us of the sin, but bring us freedom from the effects and the power of sin in our lives and in the world. And I believe this is where the healing journey comes alongside our faith journey. And we have an incredible opportunity to continue to build this partnership, to continue to be awakened to the epiphany God is bringing us through that ministry. And then the second thing that I think God is making clear to us right now is awakening to us is the ministry to international students that we are now involved with. Students that come here from all parts of the globe, from many of those places on that map, and many of those places on that map that are less touched by Christianity. These students come here and they receive an education, and the majority of them return home. And if in that time they hear the gospel message and they receive that word and they come to faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they then, as leaders in their community, go home and share that message and give testimony and give witness and participate in the spread of Christianity around the world. And even those who stay in the States remain connected to their families, to their communities, to their villages, to their cities. And so in the past, where we had to go across the seas to make this type of global impact for the kingdom, that's no longer the case because overseas is coming to us. They're coming to here in Ashland, Ohio. And they're hungry and starving for people to talk to be in relationship with. Now, obviously, the bulk of our work right now is with the Chinese ministry. And I had no idea we were going in this direction when Dolly was asked to be the worship leader. How fitting is that? But the way that we continue to step into this ministry and to form this partnership, there's opportunities for each of us to be involved, to be awakened in our life, in our partnerships, in our faith journey, sitting and having conversations. What can we learn from their experience? What can we learn from the way that the faith is lived out, for example, in China? How does that speak to us? There's a maturity there that maybe we don't have because of the things that they've had to deal with. And there are things that we can offer to them, that we can sit in community, in unity with one another, and learn. And so there are easy ways to be involved in that. It doesn't mean raising support and moving your family overseas. For a few, it still does. For the bulk of us, it doesn't, but it doesn't mean we can't participate. There's opportunities in having a conversation, being a part of a Bible study, forming a friendship, offering an encouraging word, sharing a testimony of how God has come and revealed himself to you, answered a prayer, helped you come to faith, being a loving presence in our communities where we go. These are all ways that we can participate in that. In the ongoing epiphany and revelation of God's good news to the world. I just leave you with this thought. Sometimes it's hard for us to imagine how we could have an impact for the kingdom that's global. Little old me, little old us, little old Ashland. How can we really be used by God in ways that impact the kingdom? And yet, how could Paul have ever imagined when he stood beside the stoning of Stephen, when he sent letters to the church seeking permission to round up the followers of the way and to bring them before the government for persecution and for death sentences, when he's in the middle of trying to squash this movement, how could he have ever imagined a scenario where he would not only come to believe and have faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, but then lead the missionary efforts that began and laid the foundations for this work? You see, it's not much later in Ephesians 3 where Paul prays and says, you can't even imagine all that God can do. Can't even imagine all the ways that God could use us. Can't even imagine the love that God has for you and for me and for the world. And so I just invite you to imagine, to try, and just begin to position ourselves to receive these revelations, to receive these epiphanies, to allow God to work in our hearts and draw us into this movement in greater ways. Let's spend some time even here this morning just in prayer and reflection, opening our hearts to those revelations. Holy Spirit, come and meet us in this place. Fill our hearts and especially help us to have a sense of the love that you have for us. A sense of your presence with us and among us. For that's what we need most, Lord, to know that you're here. And Lord, in a lot of ways, that's what the world needs. So many people in so many places need to know that you're real, that you're true, and that you love them. And Lord, that you would call us to participate with you in sharing that hope, and to bringing the good news that in Jesus Christ, we all can come into a relationship with you, Lord, and be a part of this ongoing and eternal kingdom that you are forming. And Lord, it's amazing to think that you could be creating ways in the midst of this divine plan that's been in place for so long, that you could be creating unique ways for us to participate in that. Is inspiring and encouraging. Lord, to think that we could have opportunities to form friendships and relationships and share a message with someone who could then go back home and be the first person to bring the good news into their community, into their family, to bring a hope and a peace in Jesus that's never been experienced there. Lord, what an incredible opportunity. And so we pray, Lord, that you would guide us in this and in all things, that your Spirit would move among us, that we would experience for ourselves an ongoing epiphany and awakening in our own faith journey as we come to know you more fully and more deeply, more intimately, Lord. For it's out of that place, Lord, that you inspire and call us to share, to receive so that we can give. You bless us so that we can be a blessing, Lord. And so help us to be faithful in that. Meet each of us in places that we most need to be met, Lord. Guide us. And walk with us, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.